Hello everyone, and welcome to Virtual Training with People Potential, a podcast made for learning and development professionals and HR practitioners who care deeply about impacting lives.
Okay, welcome back, Francis and Marian. A couple of sessions ago, we talked about three categories of trainer skills for VILT: platform skills, presentation skills, and holding the space skills, tuning into the class skills. We've covered the first two. Let's now focus on the third one, which is how do you tune into the class or how do you hold space when the space is virtual? Okay.
So,
yes, Marian.
I will definitely be co-host this time.
And you want to start with a question, May?
Yes, for you. I want to start with a question or a comment for Francis. Yeah. I think I mentioned it briefly in one of the previous episodes.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yeah, you
because,
did.
Because I'm really intrigued by what you said, that you struggle with the issue of holding space. Because whenever we see you at a presentation or, you know, a webinar.
Webinars, yeah.
Yeah, right? Mm. Your presence, how you make us feel, all of that comes across, you obviously hold the space well. I'm intrigued. You hold the space very well and you make it a welcoming place for us, right? Mm. So you're getting the user experience that you want as well. So I'd be interested to know what you struggle with. What is it that you struggle with?
Yes, this reminds me of your story about your friend practicing.
Oh.
Not that I'm saying I'm very good at it already. But it's about the things that I'm trying to achieve.
Right?
I think in the last time we had this discussion, I'm very mindful that when I'm in a flow state as a trainer, that I create a very good experience from the class, for the class, right? And as the flow state suggests, that I bring into that experience for myself all my unconscious competence. Okay. And I guess that when I am nowadays, when I'm working in a virtual space, I become aware of things that disturb me or distract me.
For example?
Right.
What types of things disturb you or distract you?
At a very general level, I don't get a sense of comfort. All right. So at a very high level, the Americans would say, I don't feel in my own skin. I'm not quite sure what exactly that means, actually. So that's the first level. Yeah, I don't get a level of comfort that I get when I step into the front of a room. And so maybe that's just lack of familiarity.
Okay.
Whereas in a training room, I would have usually checked it out the day before. I would have arrived an hour to an hour and a half, usually an hour and a half before the class starts. I will have had my rituals, and I think rituals are very important. Rituals are setting up the space the way I like it. And now the rituals with presenting in a virtual space, A, is very different. B, I'm doing it from home. I'm very mindful I'm doing it in my own kitchen, which is a very strange place.
And there are other anchors to the kitchen.
Correct.
Quite different from training.
Correct. Not to mention that our family members will walk in and out. I mean, off camera, but they're still walking in and out, opening the fridge and doing it quietly and tiptoeing around. And then this whole thing about, like, in the early days, I would sit down, right? It's just all the equipment and so on. Trying to raise it up to a standing height was just a different level of complexity. Doing it sitting down, and I've been experimenting with different chairs. Like, I started out using my office swivel chair, for example. And I've actually ditched that. And then I went into a more sort of comfortable, relaxed chair where I can put my hands down. because I notice, for example, if I don't put my hands down, then I don't know what to do with my hands. Then I usually have it in front of my face or covering my mouth or propping the side of my head, which doesn't create, in my mind, I'm calibrating that, it probably doesn't create the same kind of presence and energy that I get when I'm standing up.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Because one of the very strong anchors that I have when I'm in a room is that I create a space where people feel comfortable, safe, and relaxed.
Mm.
And when I'm not exactly 100% comfortable, I'm sure it's not coming across.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Well, maybe you've seen him at times when he's comfortable.
Yeah, so that's my point, right? Yeah. So I'm trying to see... I think it's interesting, a few things that you've mentioned there, right? That the... how we used to go and set up our training rooms and become comfortable with the space and own that space. Because I remember you telling me last year, or maybe a few years ago when you were, you know, long before we ever started in VILT, you were already doing it and you had done it for several years. And I remember you describing your environment. Like you said you had certain kinds of, well, you certainly had your attendance sheet, but you would write certain things about the participants so that you had it there with you when you were presenting. And then you, I don't know whether you talked to me about a second screen, but I realized that you had a way of organizing yourself so that you could relate and deliver your training effectively and get the results that you want. So I do agree with you. I think our trainers are going through the same thing, that their training environment is now in front of them. It's in front of us, right? Everything is in front of us. And it has to be set up in a certain way, right? So I think we can all empathize with the constraint of having to deliver your training from your kitchen, you know. Many of us are not going to be able to have a dedicated space in our homes. So that one I can really, we can really empathize.
You said you didn't agree with me.
I did. I did not agree because you almost always, I would say most of the time, make me feel comfortable and welcomed and relaxed. So I'm not sure what you are struggling with. So what are you struggling? So obviously you have got some discomfort.
Yes.
And so you think that you are not coming across.
Well, maybe his distinctions are, he has got certain distinctions that are not obvious to the user.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm thinking, you know.
Yeah.
So you're not coming across as somebody who's uncomfortable. Whereas, you know,
I am feeling uncomfortable.
You are feeling uncomfortable. But you have enough skill
resources.
So that actually we don't see it. And we often tell our, when we teach presentation skills, we tell our participants that, right?
Yes.
When you reach a certain standard, your audience may not even know, but you know.
Correct.
You know you haven't done something, but your audience doesn't know.
Of course.
Sounds like you still want to reach a certain kind of comfort, which, right? However... your audience, I think. I'm speaking for myself.
So I think the part that is not visible, there are two aspects which are not visible. All right. One obviously is my own level of comfort. So I'm certainly not as comfortable as I am in a live room. So I'm already conscious of that. All right. And so in order to do that, I really have to allocate more resources. And what are the resources I'm talking about? It's about attention. It's about energy. It's about doing things at a conscious competence level, which always requires more energy, right? Even this whole thing about having meetings online can be tiring because it's different and you have to apply conscious competence to do things. So that's the first thing. And part of it is I'm also very aware of how much energy I have. Because the longer I have to teach in front of a camera, then the more mindful that I'm going to run out of energy. Why? Because I'm actually using more energy than I'm normally used to. And then the other part, of course, is that being the introvert that I am, I already have to allocate more energy to project a more extroverted persona, for want of a better description, right? When I'm in a class, I'm almost afraid that I'm going to run out of energy. And that also then bothers me, because if I run out of energy, and I think for us trainers, we have low days or off days, right? When your energy levels are, know that your performance is nowhere near as good as good day. And so I'm also aware of that. And that's my fixation about the learner experience and my commitment to them to consistently deliver a high quality experience.
It's really interesting, right, to hear you say that. I'm reminded of one of our trainers, actually the first one, first of two trainers one of the two trainers who did our first VILT class this year.
Okay.
I remember him saying, I think you remember him saying at the end of the class and it had gone well and all that, he said that he felt that that training virtually was much better for him. Much easier for him. He was able to get a much better experience than when he stood up in front of in a face-to-face class. And we had seen him in a face-to-face class the previous year. He's a new trainer.
He's also an introvert.
He's quite a I don't know what you call them, high introvert or deep introvert. And I remember one of the things he was grappling with, and several of our trainers were grappling with, right? And it was about, he said for himself, the most important thing that he was working on, that he wanted to work on, was to be able to move seamlessly between all the things that he had to do on the platform, on Miro, on whatever else, all the instructions. Could he do them seamlessly or not? Because I think I gave them a goal. I said, you know, give yourself a goal for your first training and, you know, let me know what it is. And his goal was to be seamless so that the participant almost doesn't realize what you mentioned in an earlier episode, the processes that are happening, right? The participant just participates. So he worked a lot at it, but I don't know whether he worked at... I don't know whether he worked at energy. I think he did. I think he did. Those first two trainers did work at raising the energy. But there's something about... I guess he found the medium of training virtually much easier. I'm actually intrigued by that.
So he
was more comfortable. You know, his participants did really well. I mean, of course, your participants do well as well. But so I'm intrigued by that difference.
I'm also intrigued with that particular case, because having seen him in two environments, I actually thought that I saw a different side of him when he was presenting or teaching in a virtual space. And if I were to compare, what's the difference? I'm just guessing now, right?
Yeah.
That when he's in a live room for an introvert, that's really difficult, because you've got like 16 or 20 people that you are stuck with for the whole day, right? I've been doing training now for 30 years. I still feel it. Every time with a new class, there's a certain tension and apprehension that I get, right?
At the start.
And so for him, perhaps having not done a lot, he now goes into a space where he feels in his own space. What I described, the doing things inside your car in a traffic jam phenomena, right? People who are in their own cars in a traffic jam will do things as though they were completely enclosed, even though they were completely transparent, right? Including some quite private activities, but I say, right?
Yeah.
And I Maybe I suspect that for him that is the case, because I've noticed for learners and participants,
yeah,
they do have that experience, right? They feel like they're in their own bubble and their own space, and they do relax. And so I think that's the case for him.
Mm.
And if I compare it to my own experience, what has happened is I've sort of developed an like a more extroverted persona when I train.
Mm.
Right? And that requires effort. Even after so many years, it still requires more effort.
Mm.
Not as much as it used to, but it still requires effort. And now, but it's got to a stage where it's less effortful.
Mm.
But now I'm coming to a virtual environment where I'm struggling again. It's now made it become, like, it's brought it back into consciousness.
Mm.
And I then find it also more effortful.
Mm. Yeah.
So there is that situation.
Mm. Yeah. So far, what I'm hearing is that it's about personal state management, right? From the rituals to the environment to energy levels, right?
Mm.
So when we talk about holding the space, what do we mean by that?
Okay.
Or tuning into the class, that's the other phrase you used, right? What do we mean by that?
One of the things that I work very hard to do when I'm in a live class or whenever I'm training or teaching is that I create an environment where people feel comfortable, people feel safe, right? Why safe? Because often learning involves trying new things. Often learning involves trying and failing. Learning often involves becoming vulnerable when you have to try and demonstrate or use a new skill, right? And if the environment, if the learner is in an environment where they don't feel safe, then it inhibits them. And if it inhibits them or they are self-conscious or they feel awkward, it affects the quality of the experience, it affects the quality of the learning, it affects the quality of the skill practice that's involved. Right? Mm. And as a trainer then, I work very hard to make sure that I create this environment.
Mm.
From the first moment they come into the room, from the first moment they come into contact with me. And that starts with building rapport when they appear. And part of what I said earlier is that my own state has the potential to infect.
Sure.
Them, right? Yep. So that's the first thing about create the importance of creating that space. Coming to your questions, how do I create that, right? I think first is about sensing the room or tuning into the room or tuning into the group. What's the energy level like? What's the emotional states collectively?
How do you do that with a virtual audience?
That's the challenge.
That's his challenge.
That's my challenge.
Yeah. Okay.
Because in a live room from the half an hour to 20 minutes before the class starts, people are coming in, I'm talking to them, I'm greeting them, I'm building a rapport, I'm learning to...
You get a sense of the culture of that organization also.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I make myself accessible in a sense that people feel I'm approachable, I'm warm, I'm friendly, I listen.
It really is an alter ego. from your normal state. Yeah, okay.
Hey, I see what you're doing there. If you're listening into this, right, it's not true. Yeah. So all of that happens, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is by the time the class officially starts, there's a certain feel in the room. And of course, then I use music and the setup of the room and so on. So in a virtual space, the rituals are not available. It's very hard to have that one-on-one contact to build the rapport as they're coming in.
Hmm.
Right? So there's that challenge as well. In a live room, you can talk to individuals in the presence of other people and it's not disturbing. because we actually have an ability to tune out things which are not intended for us, right? But in a virtual space, if you try and communicate with one other individual in a virtual space, it's very jarring for everyone else because it dominates. It dominates the communication channel. We cannot tune it out. It's the same phenomena that when you you're in a public space like a restaurant or a coffee shop, and then somebody's on the phone and you can hear half of that. Yes, no la, no no. What what? Don't be like that, la bro. And then you're thinking, what is the other half of the conversation, right?
That's such a good analogy.
And so in that space, you cannot tune it out. And in a virtual space, you cannot tune it out. And so I'm still experimenting and grappling with, but what can I do? Like, what are some workarounds? What are some alternatives? I'm sure they are. And I'm sure there are other people who are grappling with this.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, if you've got an idea and you've got something that you want to share, write in and let's start a discussion. So these are some of the things, right? That I'm grappling with. May, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm chuckling again.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to appear as though I'm insensitive to your struggles.
But you're about to say.
Yeah,
no, she's insensitive to your struggle.
I am. Because what you're just describing, right, about building rapport with people, making them welcome, the pre, right, before the class starts, all the things that trainers do, right?
All the good trainers do.
I think the better word is that I'm fascinated with what you're saying. Because my own experience, and I'm pretty certain it's the experience of other people who are your participants or your audience. Yeah, your participants or your webinar participants and all that, right? My own experience is that you do welcome us into the virtual space. You do talk to individuals. Because I've seen you, I attended one of your, a showcase that you were doing, and you were welcoming, you know, friends from different parts of the world, and you were using their names and talking to them, and I felt totally comfortable.
Okay.
Right? Because I knew you were going to get to me, and you did, right? So you acknowledged me. And then you kind of did the preliminaries, like before the actual showcase started, right? You did all those preliminaries. You made us all feel welcome, and then you started, and we were all relaxed. So I think you are doing what you want to do, but internally you are still expending more energy than you would like. You know, So you're using more energy because it's a different space, So I just want to assure you that from the audience's point of view, you do hold the space very well. So the fascinating thing is that I think your experience is probably echoes the experience of many trainers who are starting to get out there. You know, and you've been doing it for several years, and you're still not entirely comfortable. Maybe that's about
practice and familiarity.
Or maybe that's the environment. That's the context, right?
And it
comes with the territory.
I'm
thinking that, you know, you have 30 years of classroom training, whereas that our other trainer had
1 year plus.
1 year plus,
right?
So he didn't have much face-to-face training experience. Wasn't so comfortable, and he did okay, wasn't as comfortable, but came into this medium and is finding his way in this medium, right? So for those of us who've been training for many more years, that, you know, coming into the new environment, you know, is your, that I can feel when you say you're expending more energy, coping with all the differences, I can understand that. And I would imagine that many people would be feeling that as well, you know. But I think the difference with you, one difference is that you obviously have practiced the platform skills, and you know you're comfortable enough with the camera. So your own standard is high enough so that we feel comfortable. right? Mm. Whereas one of our other trainers who had to do a class for the first time, so she did all the practice and all that. And I remember her telling me, oh, because she's extremely extroverted.
Okay.
In class. She's really an extrovert. She feeds on the energy. She sets up this, you know, wonderful rapport and cycle of energy that, in her face-to-face classes. And she said, oh, I'm on radio. Like, how do I do what I used to do when I'm on radio?
As right? in, it's like One Direction broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. That was her initial, okay. Her initial feeling that she was on radio, right? Mm. And then, you know, just after even on her day one of the actual class, a client class, she was a bit uncomfortable, and we could sense it. Mm. I'm not sure if the participants could sense it, but I could see, and a few of us could see. And by day two, she said she had found her. She had found her flow
her pace.
So I think the thing about that journey towards being comfortable.
Yeah.
So that we can bring our whole selves into training. Yeah. It's a journey that many of us are going to be are going through at the moment.
Terry, you look thoughtful. Have we started to answer your question, which is how do we read the room and how do we create and hold a space?
Yeah, essentially what I'm hearing is that first you have to get into your own ritual, right? Maybe you need to reshape your environment, right? So if you're in a kitchen or something, it's a little bit more difficult. Mm. But you need to control your environment in such a way that you can control your own state also. And then do what you would normally do in a classroom. And perhaps from what I'm hearing from that second trainer's example that you gave, Miriam, that perhaps this thing about tuning out is not so important. Maybe they do want to tune in when you focus on each participant, right? You might be feeling that, you know, you can't have the small table chat.
Because everyone else is listening in.
Listening in, right? Which you would normally do in a classroom, but perhaps that's not so important. Perhaps they do want to tune in and be part of the conversation even before the class starts.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So they're sort of passively participating and they're okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I think the thing is that if I'm welcoming what I've seen you do, right, when you are welcoming someone else, I'm noticing you, right? So if I'm your participant, I'm noticing you and I'm already making my own judgment if you will.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be, but maybe I'm, you know.
No, you're calibrating.
This is a friendly trainer.
Yeah.
You know, he cares, he's warm, he cares. Hmm. If you care about the other person, I'm going to very easily conclude you're going to care for me.
Yeah.
So I think you...
So it sounds as though my rituals, and now I'm thinking about it, it's almost because I don't really think about it that much anymore. But the rituals that I sort of bring to the front or bring to the fore when I actually do start my virtual class actually still works in a virtual space.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's interesting feedback.
Yeah, it is because it's hard for you to gauge how others are perceiving you, right? Unless you get this kind of feedback.
Yes, I'm always worried about it.
I'm always concerned about it because
for me, I think it's really, really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be $200, by the way, for the counseling session.
But there are still some unanswered questions for me, right? Like in a live class, like if I'm sitting, nowadays I'm usually sitting right in the front of the room and everyone is sitting around me, either in one semicircle or two rows semicircle around me. So is that... I can, for want of a better word, I can sense the mood. I can sense the weather in the room.
Yeah.
And some of us talk about the energy level in the room, right? So that's my next thing I'm working on because how do we do that? How do we sense the mood, the energy level collectively? Mm. And part of it is about being able to tune in individually.
Mm.
So there are two aspects of that, being mindful or aware of how individuals are feeling, And also as a group or in a room, how does that feel?
Okay. After you figure that out, let me know and we'll have a podcast on that.
Does that mean it's time for us to wrap up?
Yeah, it is. I believe it is. So once again, thank you, Francis and Marian. Thank you for co-hosting.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, you asked some good questions. And given Francis a bit of feedback.
Yes.
And till we meet again, au revoir.
Yes.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Francis. It was great.
Been a good conversation.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the next.
If you're interested to see how People Potential can help you to convert your face-to-face training to virtual training programs, head on to www.peoplepotential.com. And if you'd like to learn more from our trainers and learning and development specialists, head on to the blog section of our website to sign up to our newsletter.